And you may be seated, and thank you all for being here tonight. We appreciate very much the presence of all of you that are here. I was talking a moment ago with Blake and Jaden over here, and they said that they were ready for another good sermon tonight. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate them being right up here on the front seat, fellas. That's great. That's an encouragement to me personally. And I want you to know that. You know, it's so easy for all of us to get discouraged in life. It is. Every one of us do oftentimes, especially when you see bad things happen. I heard about a man one time who appeared before St. Peter at the pearly gates. And the Apostle Peter said, "Have you ever done anything of particular merit?" Well, Peter asked him that. And the man responded. He says, "Well, I can think of one thing." He said, "Once I was on a trip to the Black Hills of South Dakota, and I came upon a gang of bikers who were threatening a young woman. I directed them to leave her alone, but they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest and the most heavily tattooed biker, and I smacked him right on the head, kicked his bike over, ripped out his nose ring, and threw it on the ground. And I yelled, 'Now back off, biker boy, or you'll answer to me.' And St. Peter was impressed and said, 'When did this happen?' He said, 'Just 2 minutes ago.'" Well, believe it or not, there are times when we all get discouraged in life. I don't care who we are. So I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about defeating discouragement. How many of you ever get discouraged? Let me just ask it this way. Is there anyone in this audience that never, ever gets discouraged? No one. Well, we're on the right subject here tonight. How do you rise above discouragement? How do you do it? Everyone is asking that today. Audrey, when I told her I was going to preach on discouragement tonight, the very question she asked me was this: how do we do it? I said, just hang on. I'm going to tell you tonight. Now, we all get discouraged. We do. And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, when the Israelites had failed to respond to the commandment of God, they got discouraged. They got discouraged by some of the other brethren. And let me read it tonight. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, you can shift your eyes up here, verse 26 and 28. The Bible says, "Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured," he says, "in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to the heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there.'" Now, I want you to focus in particularly upon this statement that is made, that the brethren have discouraged our hearts. You know, sometimes the very ones that you would think are going to be encouragers are the very people that have a way of discouraging you as a Christian. They may say something to you that offends you. They may do something that shakes your faith. They may in some way do something to discourage you as a Christian. These people were discouraged because they did not recognize their dependence upon Almighty God. It was Lucille Ball who once said, "One of the things that I learned early in life and learned the hard way," she said, "is that it doesn't pay to get discouraged. Discouragement is something that you really have to rise above. Many people live at the corner of discouraged and hopeless." Maybe that's you. I don't know. If it's not you, then maybe you are aware of, or maybe you know someone who lives right here. and they're always down, they're always troubled about something that is going on in their life, and instead of rising above it and realizing with the help of God that we can overcome, they continue to reside at the corner of discouraged and hopeless. I can't imagine living there. Now I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about some do's and don'ts concerning discouragement. And there are some. You know, we fail to realize what they are many, many times in life. Let me tell you, first of all, that discouragement should never weaken our faith. You know, faith is such an important thing in our life. It is. And in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the Apostle Paul says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." I like what Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 31. He said, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Who can be against us? When God is for us, there is no adversary in this world who is able to overcome the power of Almighty God. John later wrote to the early church as he was exiled on Patmos, and he said, "You know, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world." But sometimes we all get discouraged. We do. You know what? It's not a sin to get discouraged. And I want you to know that, and I want you to listen to what I'm telling you tonight. It is not a sin to get discouraged. It is a sin to stay discouraged. We all get discouraged. Even Jesus got discouraged. Even Jesus got weary. There were times when he looked out upon the city of Jerusalem, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you to myself as a hen does gather her brood to herself, but you would not." There were times when Jesus got weary and he had to get away from the marketplace and he had to go to the mountain. There are times when we get discouraged as well. And there are times when we frown. But you know what we have to do? We have to turn that frown into a smile. And it works, folks, just as easy as that. You know what? You can either turn on a frown or you can turn on a smile. You can. It is a matter of perspective in life. You see, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble. It is going to come." He says, "But take heart, for I have overcome the world." He said there are going to be challenges that face us every day. "But take heart, for I have overcome the world." Many of us face panic at times in our lives. But when panic visits us, there are some things that we should not do. We should never, ever allow discouragement to weaken our faith, but there's some other things that we should not do and some things that we should do. Don't get discouraged over things that happen and things that do not happen. You know, one of the biggest things that discourage... Y'all like that slide. One of the biggest things... And listen, there's no time... The reason I did that tonight is I knew we had an ice cream supper after church. Now, I don't know of anybody that... Hope I can make it through this. I don't know of anybody that does not get discouraged at times overweight. How many of you have ever been on a diet? Just honestly tonight, you can raise your hand. Look at that. Is there anyone in here that has not been on a diet? Well, bless you, Marty, you skinny thing. But there are times when most of us have endeavored to be on a diet and it just didn't work out and you're ready to blow that scale to kingdom come. But don't get discouraged over things that do not happen in life. What matters most in life, and I've come to the conclusion, we let other people discourage us, like they said the brethren have discouraged our hearts. The thing that really matters in life is how you see yourself. I've told you before, I don't like cats, but I do like lions. Jesus was called the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. But sometimes people see themselves not for what they are, and they get discouraged in life. You know, reputation is what people say you are. Character is who you are. And we should never, ever allow the world's perception of us to shake our faith, to weaken it in any way. Abraham Lincoln once said, "If I answered all of my critics in life, I would never have time to get the job done." And I think it's so true of many. What do you do when you get discouraged? Well, I told you about some things you shouldn't do, but let me tell you some things you should do. First, secondly, lean on your friends. The book of Proverbs 18 and verse 24 says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lean on your friends. We were singing that song a moment ago about leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. But you know what? We ought to lean on the friends of Jesus as well. We ought to lean on one another. Remember the old song, "Lean on Me"? That's what we ought to be doing, leaning upon one another. I have come to the conclusion also that in life we basically have three types of friends. Number one, we have friends for a reason. We have friends for a season. And then thirdly, we have friends for a lifetime. Let me ask you a question. What kind of friend are you? Are you a friend with ulterior motives, that you have a friendship with someone, there's a reason for it? Or is it a short-lived thing that you are friends with someone for a season? Or is it that you want to be friends with someone for a lifetime? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves the question, what kind of friend am I? Someone said, when you're up, your friends know who you are. And when you're down, you know who your friends are. And that's true, folks. You know, sometimes people want to be friends with you as long as you don't have issues going on in your life. But if you have issues going on in your life, they suddenly walk out the door. What kind of friend are you? Mark Twain once said, "Never allow someone to be your priority while allowing yourself to be their option." And sometimes we become options with some people. They can opt in or they can opt out. But they want you to make them priority. There were people just like that who claimed to be followers of Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 6, when Jesus talked about his impending death and his physical demise upon this earth and his separation from this world and the fact that they were to eat his bread and drink his blood, the Bible says that many of them walked away from him and walked with him no more. Short-lived friendship. Well, I want to tell you something. My best friends are the people who love me, who encourage me, who support me, who inspire me, who accept me, and when I am with them, I feel the happiness of God and the joy of the Lord. And don't let anyone, let me encourage you here, don't ever let anyone's ignorance or their hate or their drama or their negativity stop you from becoming the very best person that you can be in your life. As I mentioned a moment ago, there were times when Jesus faced difficulty. There were times, no doubt, when he was discouraged in his day by the refusal of people to accept him. Let me tell you something you ought to do, and this may sound a little strange, but it's true. Thank every single person who has ever told you that you can't because they are just another reason why you will. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Now, the best news that you will ever hear and the best news that I could offer you tonight, and, you know, the Bible is filled with good news. But the best news tonight that I could offer you is this one thought, that Jesus is that friend that Proverbs 18 and verse 24 says is one who sticketh closer than a brother. You know what? I've really come to the conclusion in life that that statement is absolutely true. I believe all the scripture. But sometimes people look at that and they say, well, I don't know how, you know, blood's thicker than water, and I don't know how a friend could be closer than a brother or a sister. But I'm going to tell you something. It is true. It is true. God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So we can say, Paul writes in the book of Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, that we can say with all confidence that the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid, or I will not be discouraged. But there's a third thing you need to know about defeating discouragement. That is, we must seek to encourage other people. We must seek to be an encourager. We need to seek to be a Barnabas. You know, Barnabas was one of the great biblical characters of all time. He's almost an unsung hero, however, because you don't read about him as much as you do Paul the Apostle or Philip the Evangelist or Stephen the Deacon back in the church in Jerusalem. And certainly, he was important, however, to the cause of Jesus Christ early on in the early church. The word Barnabas, and this is an interesting word, means son of encouragement. You and I can be like Barnabas. We can. We can either encourage or we can discourage other people. You're either doing one of two things, believe it or not. Whether you want to admit it tonight, you're either an encourager or you are a discourager. And Barnabas chose the upper road. Barnabas chose the path of being an encourager. Well, how'd you like to have that for a nickname? Son of edification or son of encouragement. One thing I've learned also in life that we must seek to encourage other people is simply to be a good listener. How many of you are good listeners? Most of us are good talkers. They are. Most people earn their living by the sweat of their brow. Preachers earn their living by the sweat of their tongue. I'm not saying that I'm the best listener in the world. My wife is smiling and will confirm that. But it is the secret. It is the secret to a long-lasting friendship, is it not? So we should say, just so you know, if you need to talk, I'm all ears. But many of us are not. Barnabas was an encourager. And let me share with you the areas where he really was an encourager. He was an encourager in the areas of love. He had such a great love for the early church. You know what Barnabas did? Barnabas sacrificed everything that he had because he knew the hurt the church was hurting, and he reached out with love and kindness to minister to the early church. He set such a tremendous example that other people in the New Testament church at that time wanted to do the same thing. They wanted to be like Barnabas. He was an encourager in areas of evangelism. He was. He was a missionary. He and John Mark served as missionaries preaching and teaching the will of God. He was benevolent because when he saw that need in the church, he said, I'm willing to sell everything that I have and give and lay that money at the feet of the Judean elders for distribution to the needy saints in and around Jerusalem. And that's exactly what he did, brethren. He was an encourager in benevolence and in liberality also. He didn't hold anything back. He was unlike Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts chapter 5, just one chapter later, when they went and sold a piece of property and they kept back part of it, but yet they told the apostle Peter that they had given everything in the world to the Lord that they'd received from the sale of that property, which was a lie, and God struck them dead as a result of their lie. But Barnabas was an encourager. And the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12 says that we are to seek that we might excel to the edifying of the church. Isn't that counter to what happened back in Deuteronomy chapter 1? The brethren have discouraged our hearts, they said. And yet Paul says here that you and I are to seek that we might excel to that one area, and that is to the edification of the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes I wonder if we really understand what the church is really all about. What is our mission anyway? Sometimes we look at the church, I think, just kind of as another social organization, just to come to church to have fellowship. You come to worship. That's why you come. Fellowship is a part of it. But folks, let me tell you, when we come together in the house of God, we are to worship God. The church isn't a museum for good people. It is a hospital for the broken. Our job is to heal the brokenhearted. Someone said, I love those people who can make me laugh during those moments when I feel that I cannot even muster a smile. Paul said in Hebrews 3 and verse 13, but encourage one another daily, so long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another. You wouldn't think you would have to tell the church that, but we all have to be reminded at times, don't we? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul again writes, do not grow weary in well-doing or in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap, he says, a harvest if you do not give up. If you don't give up. We all have been there. As I said, there are times when we get discouraged and we need someone who will reach down and lift us up from where we are. Have you ever been guilty? Have you ever been guilty of spending your time discouraging or encouraging others? I would want to be guilty of the latter, that is, encouraging other people. Everyone has weaknesses. And you know what's so odd about our weaknesses is that most of us know what our weaknesses are. If I were to ask you tonight, what is your weakness? You could tell me. You might not want to tell me. But you could tell me what your weakness is. We don't like to talk about our weaknesses. But I can tell you, every one of us have them. Most people know their weaknesses and they are crying out with words like these, encourage me. When we go to worship, we don't go to worship to be discouraged, but we go to worship to be encouraged, folks. Encouraged. This morning I told you that we need to stand strong for America. And I'm convinced of that. We all have been called upon by God to stand strong in this great country that God has given us. But we must also stand strong for God. He said, have I not commanded you, in the book of Joshua 1 and verse 9, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not tremble, he says, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That message is just simply translated into saying, stand strong. for God. You know what? There is victory in Jesus. There is. Our only hope of getting out of this world is a victory with Christ our Lord. It's the only hope you have. It's the only hope that I have. Many people do not understand it, and many people do not grasp it. But I'm telling you, the only hope that you and I have is that victory which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You will always suffer from defeatism. You will always suffer from discouragement. You will always feel down and out. You will always feel that everybody is against you. You will always feel that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. You will always live at the corner of hopeless and discouraged until you come to know Christ. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you ready to give your life to Christ through obedience to the gospel of Jesus and baptism? You know, it's amazing the transformation that takes place when one is baptized into Christ. I have never baptized someone and them come up out of that water with a look of dismay. I can tell you, everyone that I have ever immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins come up out of that water with a radiant beam that I've never seen on their face before, and with an embrace from them that says, I love you. Thank you for sharing the gospel with me. Sometimes we lose our joy. As Christians, we experienced that radiant beam, but we became so discouraged in life about a lot of things. Well, tonight, it can be restored. God can put the song back in your heart and the smile on your face. He can. And a restoration of His Spirit within your heart and in your life. Many of us are not ready to accept that. Sometimes, and it's always strange to me, how people will go through life living with discouragement instead of finding the encouragement that comes from God. I don't understand it, but we're here tonight to encourage you. And if you're not a Christian, you can obey the Lord tonight, and we encourage you to do that. And if you're a Christian and you've lost your joy, maybe you're like David. You need to say to God in Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy of the Lord, and then I will teach the transgressor of thy way. The invitation is yours tonight. Let us stand and let us sing.